So Beth was talking about newness, and at this part of the scripture, when Jesus says, who do you say I am? This is a shift in the Gospels, both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is that moment in time when there's a sense that Jesus is for a new folk who are going to follow him. That's a huge shift. Because now he says to Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build a church or something like that. So basically he said, and I tell you, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail it. Death can't, nothing, the devil, nothing can beat it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So I want to think today about, all right, if there's this shift and there's this authority that Jesus is giving this guy named Simon, we're going to call him Peter from now on. And the authority with Peter is also with all of the disciples. I want us to think about, you and I together, what is authoritative through Christ? Or a different way of thinking about that. If you're a person struggling with faith, identity, what is authoritative for you in your life? What brings authority? And how do you follow what is right and what is wrong? Jesus says, I'm going to build this church on you. And we're going to shift a little bit. Now, I think the reason why I'm really attracted to this conversation is because of the language that we've been listening for the last, oh gosh, probably Vietnam War era till now. For those of you who know what the Vietnam War is, some of you may not. But there's been a lot of interesting conversation in the last 2 weeks about moral authority. Have you heard it? Moral authority. And who has it? Who should have it? Who doesn't have it and who should get it? I have no idea why you're laughing. Okay. Let us be clear that we are really struggling in culture. But I want to talk about it in two ways today about authority. Church, community, people who choose to live under some sort of relationship with following Jesus, and then those outside who still are looking for moral authority. I don't know how to go through the list of American culture, right? How do we talk about the Vietnam era and Richard Nixon? How do we talk about the Bill Clinton era and the sexual immorality in leadership? How do we talk about what's happening in our country and the question around racism and authority and what's moral and what's immoral? I think the church needs to talk about it, right? Doesn't the church need to stand up in the conversation, not about politics? Friends, if we're going to talk about politics, we are done in the church. We are talking about how it is that we choose to live together in community, you and I. And I think about that relationship and how it is that God provided for this new way through God and what we call the church, ecclesia, the church. It's an exciting time 2,000 years ago when Jesus says, oh my gosh, Simon Peter, you got it. It's not the words, but it's through faith that you got this. And so on this rock, I will build this church called the Rock, and nothing, nothing will stop it. So the question isn't whether the church is being successful or not. Jesus doesn't measure that. It's about how we choose to live with one another and who authority or who provides authority for us. How does God provide authority for you? And I know that when we talk about that, if you go to a number of churches in this area, you will get a different understanding about what's moral and what's immoral. I get that. So I'm going to make it a little bit smaller today when I talk about the church. I'm talking about us, this community of faith who struggles and lives out it together. Now, on Friday, we did a memorial service for David Gels. And for those of you who didn't know, David was a person who chose to give his life to help others. He died of cancer, but in terms of his work. And so morality and living out his life was an important relationship as he did his work in ministry. And he was also a gay man who chose to live in a committed relationship with another human being. Now, in some churches, that's very immoral. The whole conversation is immoral, right? At Westminster, for those of you who disagree with that, we give space for that conversation, but the community has generally identified that relationship between two human beings that commit to one another as being a moral relationship that God gives God's grace and mercy. But it's not about sex, right? It's about love. And so the question is, and at the 9 o'clock chapel service, somebody said, and it struck me so honest and truthful, that it's love that is our authority. Love. God said to Simon Peter, look, you've got this. The church is going to be built on you. And later, throughout the whole gospel, we see the acts of love. Let's begin with this whole idea of Matthew in this section. It begins sort of at chapter 13. The thing that happens there is Matthew's telling the story is that Jesus rejected by Nazareth, by his own home community. And then Jesus has to figure out as he moves forward to this point, he heals people, he feeds people, he does all these wonderful acts of love. And he gets to this point and he says, who do you say I am? And I would say, beside the Messiah, Simon Peter was saying, you are the person who loves us most. That's moral authority. Now, there is right and wrong, and we're going to struggle for the next 100 years, I'm sure, in this country. Remember, slavery was fought for 400 years. We're going to struggle about moral authority. But I want to say to you today, one of the questions you have to be able to answer now, if you're going to choose to be a follower of Jesus, by what authority? How are you going to show your relationship with God through Christ to others? Through what authority? Is it the scriptures? Is it love? Is it community? Is it your understanding of what is right and what is wrong? And where does that come from? And if you find somebody who disagrees with you, how will you love them and listen to their disagreement rather than prove that you're right? I hate that part. I like proving I'm right. Beth proves me why I'm not right often. She's shaking her head. Yeah, that's right. Right? Jesus says to Simon Peter, on this rock I will build this church. Friends, I think this church is growing in deeper faith. Why? Because I think we're all struggling with, by what authority are we living our lives by? Who gives us our energy, our purpose, our identity? It can't be Presbyterianism. It can't be Christianity. It can't be because I'm from Northeast Portland. It can't be because I'm a United States citizen. It has to be because I'm a follower of Jesus and I believe in love. Or something like, love is greater than any boundary. On this church, we will find love, is my argument for you today. And the authority that we need to have with one another is that we are doing our work, our acts, our beliefs, our thinking, because we choose love. Not only do we choose it, it's by God's authority we have been given. For God so loved the world. So my question to you, by whose authority do you act? If it is your self-identity piece, claim it. I'm a little uncomfortable with it, but at least know where you're coming from. I think community is a great gift. Because even in this section of what Matthew's talking about, Peter is not acting alone. It is within the community of disciples. And later on, many commentators say that once Peter is given this task, he doesn't do it by himself, but he does it with others. Friends, I think that's what we form community for. I think that's what helps us. The Ten Commandments can be made fun of all you want, but when they were written, they were to help the community be better as individuals and as human beings living together. By what authority are you living your life? Who is giving you the keys of the kingdom? That's what Matthew is saying here. Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind, whatever the authority, whatever is taught, whatever brings the community together, that will be bound together in a very powerfully wonderful, loving, positive way. Whatever you loose, whatever you get rid of, hopefully that's outside of the community. Hopefully it's not human beings, but it's the things that interfere. Our sins, our negativity, the way we think about others. We're better than for these reasons. Moral authority is not a bad thing. It's how we use it. And in the mainline Protestant church, we have lost this ability that we can be leaders, not only for what is right or wrong, but in morality. And those are really hard conversations, really hard conversations. But I think the keys of the kingdom are not about heaven, but about our living in community together that's heaven-like. That's what I think we're called to do. So as you think about by whose authority you live, I really want you to struggle that. And don't you love seeing all those kids with fresh faces and ideas? They're going to be learning about so much. History and English and science, music and math. But the question is, what will they gain from that information that will make them the kinds of people that we believe God is calling them to be? The same question I ask of you, whether you're 20 or 40 or 85. What are you learning about that's going to help you be a better person in the community? And as you form this community that God seems to be calling the church to be, what are we going to let loose, get rid of, and what are we going to bind together? By what authority are we going to live? And who are we going to live with? And when I was doing camp and conference ministry in my 20s and late teens, the idea and the question we asked all the time the kids was, not only do you need to know who you are, you need to know whose you are. You are claimed. You are claimed by God who believes in you, but also has some responsibilities given to you. It's not all one-sided. We're accountable, and that's good for you and for me. The keys of the kingdom are here. They're present. It's not about death. It's about life. One of the reasons why I love the hymn that we sang this morning, I wanted to share a few words with it to end with you. It's a great teaching hymn of the church. But here's what it says, and it helps us think about who we are and whose we are. In an age, this is the fourth verse, in an age of change and doubt, keep us faithful to the gospel. Help us work your purpose out. Here in this day's, this worship's dedication, all we have to give, please God receive. We who cannot live without you, we adore you, we believe. I think the question for all of us today isn't so much about faith. The question is, how are we going to use our faith? And are we using the authority of faith in a loving way that will bring life, that will bind the community together? It's a powerful message, and it's a new day. And friends, we have a long journey ahead of us. So take sustenance, worship together, laugh together, tell great stories about each other's lives together, listen to great music, pray like crazy, and then go out. Live a life that people say, wow, I want what they have. Wow, I don't agree with a thing that person is doing, but I admire them. That is what God is calling Peter, the church, you and I, to have the keys to the kingdom. We have them. Let's go. Hallelujah and amen.